We interrupt our regular program for this special event.
All systems are go at this time.
It's time for the kickoff.
30 seconds.
Okay, listen up.
Get ready for the ride of your lives.
Live and local from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
Number one.
We are number one.
103.7 The Game.
KLWB. Karen Crow Lafayette.
Let's get down to it.
And this is Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
And live online at 103.7thegame.com.
Is that who I think it is?
The wild, the weird, and the wonderful.
Hell yeah.
And now let's get started.
Happy Friday to you. And it is the TGIF August 23rd edition of Bumper to Bumper Sports. Ready to roll and celebrate life from Rufino's on the River. And always on 103.7 The Game. Ben Love here. My back to the river, I'm facing the bar, and ready for 2 hours and 35 minutes of delivering the good stuff to you. In tow, the famous Clint D, inside the 237 Roof Studios, presented by Lafayette Roofing, LSU, UL, angling toward a third preseason scrimmage tomorrow. The Saints, well, they're heading east, getting ready for a date with the Jets in the Meadowlands for their third preseason game. We've got high school scrimmages, and yet in South Louisiana, I've got to lead off with Mississippi State Athletics. The Cowbell crew in the news for several reasons that you just don't ever like to see. Let's get to the overarching story, and then we'll get to something that involves a Louisiana native. You want to get in? We could fit you in, but hurry up. 706-0111. Football, men's basketball for Mississippi State placed on NC2A probation. And this ain't good for Joe Moorhead, the football program, nor is it for Ben Howland in that basketball program. Academic misconduct by 11 total student-athletes canvassing those two sports. Why, you might ask? It results from self-reported rules violations involving a part-time student tutor completing online courses. And it makes you wonder how many places are doing this right now. I mean, forever and a day, there have been student tutors that help out not just athletes, but other students around campuses across the country. Now that there's the option of submitting things online, this is a touch different than everything that happened, as you'll recall, with UNC basketball. Roy Williams, 6-7 years ago, just kind of threw his hands up in the air. Heck, how am I supposed to know, right? I don't know what classes my guys are taking. How do I know that they weren't actual classes? I called BS on that. I'm not exactly calling the same degree of BS on this. But why does something tell me that Mississippi State Athletics will get in more trouble than Blue Blood UNC basketball? Just one man thinking aloud here. But it does look like that's going to be the case. Yes, Mississippi State self-reported. But yes, the NCAA doesn't particularly care. Football is going to have to vacate a number of wins from last year's 2018 season coming out of Starkville. Same for the 2018-19 men's basketball season. We're talking scholarship reductions moving forward. I don't believe in mass scale, but still, you only get 13 a year in men's basketball. Losing two would be a pretty large deal. We'll see how many of the 85 are stripped away when it comes to football. And so your news of the day, and who would have thunk it, everybody wants to stay healthy, uninjured, keep your name out of the police blotter this time of year. See, I just said that, and at least one LSU fan listening and driving started sweating bullets, thinking about Shady's a little bit 7 or 8 years ago. But this is a horse of a different color, if you don't mind me saying so. Mississippi State Athletics under the gun here. And in about 10 minutes, we're going to bring aboard a guest live from Starkville to give you the full temperature. But that's not it when it comes to the news of the day in Mississippi State. Yesterday, we told you that Tommy Stevens, transfer quarterback from Penn State, was named the starter under center or in the shotgun for Joe Moorhead. Makes a certain degree of sense. Stevens, a dual threat quarterback that had a lot of success running the football. Out of Penn State. Now he's playing for his former offensive coordinator, Moorhead, of course, now the head coach in Stark Vegas. And so Tommy Stevens wins the job, and here's the trickle-down effect. New Orleans native Keaton Thompson, and I've spent just about all of this offseason discussing him as the guy that Billy Napier, Ron Roberts, and the Cajuns would face in the opener, Keaton Thompson, according to several sources today, reportedly entering the transfer portal. And Clint, to me, this is crazy. I'll get your two cents here. Thompson coming out of the New Orleans area, Landry Walker, led him to a state title. A couple of high-level coaches at the high school level here in Louisiana said he's the best we've had here since Ryan Perilou. Thompson entering his junior season, over 670 yards and 10 touchdowns on the ground as a backup to Nick Fitzgerald. So we know he's been prolific. What do you make out of him reportedly skedaddling from Starkville after yesterday's news?
That is a big surprise, Ben, because it felt like he was going to wind up being, it's like you said, he's going to wind up being the guy that's going to bring this team and continue the momentum that they had coming from last year. And I think we'll wind up seeing him transfer over possibly to another SEC program. It's a big surprise for me to see all this go down over the last 24 hours where we see the former Penn State quarterback get the job over Keaton, where it felt like he was just kind of the next guy in line after all we saw from him in his, albeit limited outings. He definitely seemed like he was going to be poised for great things with Mississippi State, but it wasn't meant to be.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what feels predictable, obviously, in hindsight, is Stevens coming from Penn State and getting the job because of familiarity, right? And Moorhead knows he can trust him. I will say this, from an LSU perspective, I don't think you're hoping that Thompson transfers to another school in the conference of Dixie. The young man's got a lot of game. He'll end up somewhere and have some options. But I wonder, this time of year, if he's still going to have an opportunity to get on the field. I mean, this transfer portal thing to me is, it's obviously evolving, but it's still incredibly interesting. Can you realistically transfer on the 23rd of August and be suited up somewhere a week or so later? I mean, we remember it happened with one of the Tahuma brothers, right? Leaving LSU, I believe going to Southeastern. I want to say it was Maya Tahuma, even going to join his brother Sione. I think Sione, the pass rusher, was already there. As memory serves, Maya left LSU along the O-line and bing, bang, boom, was playing and starting there just a couple weeks later. But, boy, you're cutting it razor thin now. If you want to try and get on the gridiron for somebody else in, let's see here, 8 days, not sure that's going to be possible. And I'm not sure that it's either possible nor is it advisable that we turn into Mississippi State Radio for 2.5 hours. But we'll do another dip and go straight to the source on the other side of this opening break. David Murray, DogsBite.com. Tell us what the heck is going on right now for football, men's basketball, and then give us a deeper preview of the Bulldogs on the gridiron before UL heads to New Orleans a week from tomorrow. Big opening ball game. David Murray will join us within 5 minutes. Cody Warsham talking LSU football, little LSU hoops in España as well. That'll be at 4:45. And at 4:45, David Hellman, DallasCowboys.com. Is Zeke getting his extension? Is Dak getting his 35-plus million? A lot of questions. We'll go hunting for some answers. Don't go anywhere. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, and we'll be right back out to Rufino's on the River on 103.7 The Game.
One of them is famous in Cajun country. The other has a set of pipes that never quits. Seriously, we've tried before. Together, Ben and Clint bring you home on 103.7 The Game.
Welcome back out to Rufino's on the River. Having fun at the place to be in Lafayette. But right about now, we got to take you to the sports news capital of the country today. Let's go out to Starkville, Mississippi, aboard the Article Equipment Hotline. We welcome back David Murray from DogsBite.com. How are you, David?
Well, I'm actually not in Mississippi, believe it or not. I'm grabbing a last weekend. I'm at our other house, my wife's house, north of Charlotte, up in North Carolina. But thanks to the wonders of the Internet, I've had a very busy day writing stories, researching, staying in touch with the Mississippi State Administration, and following the story that broke today. We had a pretty good tip last night that what was going to happen, so we were prepared for it. What we were not prepared for was the follow-up that now one of Mississippi State's quarterbacks has put his name into the transfer portal as well. So, yeah, it's about time of the season to get here because we can't stand any more news at this rate.
I completely understand. LSU fans have been down this road in their own right, and so they understand it as well.
They?
So let's take them one at a time. Let's go to the I don't know if you want to call it Tutorgate or whatever the hell it is, but I do know this was self-reported by Mississippi State. That being said, David, are you surprised with, I guess, some of the sanctions that were levied, moving from vacation of wins to even scholarship reductions moving forward?
The only part that surprised me, and it really shouldn't have, was the vacating of the wins, which does not, any Bulldog fans out there, or other sports fans for that matter, does not mean the other team gets a victory. It merely means the win is vacated on the record for Mississippi State. So much like when, say, Florida had to vacate its SEC champion, there's no champion that year. Number two was promoted. So is it purely nominal? Sure. But it's a little embarrassing at this point. And the fact that a student tutor got involved with helping a series of players do their coursework, I don't know how you monitor it, not making excuses for it. Lord knows I'm a failed chemical engineer myself, so I got no room to talk about such things. But, yes, Mississippi State was alerted to it. A player opened his mouth a little bit too much. They learned about it, and they immediately started pursuing this through the provost. So this was not an athletic probe, per se. It was done by the university. State found all the information it could, confronted the players that were found to be involved, got the information, presented it to the appropriate committee, the Committee on Infractions, and they came to a negotiated resolution yesterday, which involves 10 players will lose 70%, rounded up, of this season, which is 8 games of the regular season. You cannot cover for that by redshirting them or saving them to next year. You must. It's not a suspension per se. It's a loss of eligibility. I know we're getting in the weeds here. As best we understand it, without giving out names, because I'm not comfortable doing that right now, it looks like only 2 regulars will be penalized this season, and the rest will be guys down the depth chart who would, several would play, but in reserve roles.
Interesting. And let's go to the other news story, as you mentioned. Our guest right now, David Murray, DogsBite.com, part of the 247 Sports Network. Keaton Thompson, we know him well, a native of New Orleans, a heck of a high school football player, and really good as a primary backup these last few years to Nick Fitzgerald. With Tommy Stevens winning the job, give us the latest as you understand it.
Yes, about an hour ago, it went public that he had entered the transfer portal. Now, does that mean he's off the team this year? We won't know that until Monday when we have our next availability with Coach Joe Moorhead. I suspect he'll be allowed to stay around, much like Kelly Bryant was at Clemson this past season, because entering the portal doesn't mean you're gone. And the fact that he waited until the fall semester, school semester is already in force, it began this past Tuesday, means that he'd be most unwise to just up and leave this current season. But here's the thing about what fans are starting to learn about the transfer portal. Just because you enter it doesn't mean you're leaving. First, somebody's got to want you. And second, the ones that want you have got to be able to give you a scholarship, and you've got to want to go there. So it is not a done deal that he will be leaving. But we'll be very, very interested to see at this point, does Joe Moorhead leave him as your number two quarterback? Does he even bring him down to his hometown of New Orleans for this game with Lafayette this coming week? You certainly don't want to have 2 freshmen, a redshirt and a true spring freshman, as your only backup quarterbacks, Tommy Stevens. But that right now is what the Bulldogs are looking at. So let's just say that the offensive line all of a sudden has a little more responsibility to keep Tommy Stevens upright and healthy this year.
Great breakdown from David and an explanation of what is and isn't fact right now with the transfer portal. Give us more that you know on Tommy Stevens. Obviously familiarity with Moorhead from their days in Happy Valley, but what does he bring to the table?
Well, Moorhead made it clear yesterday, he spoke to media, that he was going to decide on the quarterback by who was the most accurate passer, who had the best touchdown interception ratio in scrimmages, and who the team bought into. Now, I'm not downplaying the team bought into Keaton Thompson, because they certainly did in the 2017 Gator Bowl and last year's opener. But Tommy Stevens, from the day he walked onto campus, has bonded with his team. Everybody responded to him immediately. His leadership qualities, you'll find out that he's a fabulous interview as well. And he simply was a more accurate passer, a better leader during camp, and had the better ratio of explosive plays. So he won the job outright. And it's not like it was just handed to him. This was honest competition. And by the way, I mentioned Kelly Bryant. Joe Moorhead pursued him first. So it wasn't like he targeted Stevens all the way. He went for him after Bryant decided, passed on Mississippi State and Arkansas to end up at Missouri, also in the SEC. But Stevens knows him. There's familiarity. And I just think he's more comfortable. He's got to go out there and make the plays. But with the running game we expect State to have, with the offensive line, which really I think is going to be a surprising strength in this team, and I think a much-improved receiving core, he has a chance to really be an impact and get this offense into what they thought it would be last year. But Nick Fitzgerald, for all his strengths, just simply was not capable of doing.
David, if you don't mind, go a little deeper on that offensive line and give Cajuns fans a feel for what the pass rush will be going up against next week.
Yeah, Mississippi State's revamped the line because they lost two seniors, both of them to the NFL this year, but they moved Darrell Williams, a three-year starting guard, over to center, which actually is his natural position. He fit in immediately there and was named team captain back in spring as a result. Stuart Reese, a very good offensive tackle, is going to be an even better right guard. And that allows Tyree Phillips, a third-year JUCO transfer, who's fully developed now, to step in at the left tackle position. And Deron Parker may be the best lineman of the bunch now. He's moving into his prime here as a sophomore, third-year sophomore, at the left guard position. A lot of people just saw the two departures. They thought so well of Elkin Jenkins and Deion Calhoun, who, as I said, are now in training camps, that they thought there'd be a drop-off. I actually think this offensive line could be as good and perhaps even better, and more so because I just think that Tommy Stevens' strengths will take some of the pressure off the line because, let's face it, this offense is built around Kylan Hill. Kylan Hill could easily be an 1,100-yard rushing, 400-yard receiving, 13-touchdown guy this season. He's that talented at the running back position, and now he has the job pretty much to himself with the graduation of Aris Williams.
Talking Mississippi State Bulldogs football on 103.7 The Game. Our guest, David Murray. We'll go to the defensive side. And I've had several conversations with your cohorts this summer about replacing Simmons and Sweat. Tell me a little bit more about how this fall has gone up front.
Well, let's not forget John Abram either, who is going to make the lineup. Obviously, he's a first-round pick of the Oakland Raiders at safety. And he was the guy who made that front all the more effective because Jeffrey Simmons, you don't replace him. Unfortunately, the players are not being asked to replace Jeffrey Simmons. They're told to be themselves. What will happen now is the strength of this unit is going to be the linebacking core, which I think is just outstanding now with Leo Lewis, who was a great freshman, kind of fell into a holding pattern for 2 years. Now he's a senior, and he's cranked it back up. Errol Thompson, an all-ACC middle linebacker. The safety core, even with the loss of Abram, I expect them to be better. Defensive ends, solid to possibly outstanding, even without Montez Sweat. Cornerbacks, much improved. Where State is going to be vulnerable this year on defense is against the true power rushing teams that can attack you straight up the middle. Because once you get past Lee Autry, a senior, all you have are one sophomore, a couple of redshirt freshmen, a true freshman, who are going to have to play way ahead of schedule at those positions. But the other nine positions are strong enough and deep enough to pick up some of that slack. So unless it's that rare team, and we know one well up the road from where you're talking right now who specializes in power running, I think State defensively still should be able to hold its own and probably even dominate most of the teams they play this season.
You know, David, on a lighter note, if Leo Lewis really is a senior, that means I'm getting old. I mean really old.
Well, you may talk about being old, but when I covered my first Mississippi State scrimmage exactly 40 years ago this past spring, I'll talk to you about being old.
That's fair. No, you win. We got a moment or two left with David Murray. We've gone to the offense, the defense, anything that Cajuns fans ought to know about the return units and then the guys kicking coming up next week.
Well, Isaiah Zuber, who transferred, a graduate transfer from my Kansas State, who Mississippi State played last season, it looks like he'll step in at one of the kick return roles. Now, that said, you and I both know kick return has become such a rare thing in college sports because of great coverage. I don't really consider that more of a factor. I'm more interested in Tucker Day or, depending on how things work out, others punt the ball. He's just inconsistent. He'll hit 40, 45, and then 30, and things like that. If he can settle down and be consistent, the punting will be fine. Coverage should be outstanding. Field goal kicking will be solid, probably not great. Certainly, you start questioning things after 45 yards or so. But that's where, again, it all comes back. The future to this team, to winning our expected baseline of 8 games despite these suspensions, which, by the way, are 8 games for all the 10 players involved, is that can the offense balance things out? You know you can run the ball. You know you can block. And you got a quarterback who can run as well. Can the receivers raise their game and make Tommy Stevens available to use the passing that he's capable of doing? If you do that, Mississippi State will certainly win its 8 games, have a decent chance at 9, possibly 10 this year, but it all comes down to balancing out the offense. That will take the load off the special teams, and that will allow the defense to tee off and keep being aggressive instead of just trying to play not to make the big mistake. That, to me, is what matters. The offense has got to come through and not, like last year, leave most of the load up to that great defense.
Got about a minute left. David, your expectation for how well Mississippi State will travel for this opener?
I think well. In fact, former athletic director Greg Byrne and I are friends when he was here as assistant and AD. We once talked often about how Mississippi State should just schedule a season opener every year in New Orleans. Just sign a 10-year contract with the Dome because State fans love to make that trip for the Labor Day weekend. Didn't work out quite that way, but this year we do get to have that happen. I think State fans will turn out well despite the fact they have three home games following that. They just look forward to this trip, and it's been a while for there. The fans get down in that area. Woods. In fact, State's not played in the Dome since 2007, so it's way overdue.
Always a pleasure to talk with you. I know you're not in Starkville now, but you've given us the latest. Like, you're right there with your fingers on the pulse, David.
And you didn't even ask me about basketball, because that's where all this Tudor Gate began.
We'll get to Ben Howland and those guys later. David, thanks again.
Thanks for calling, Ben.
How about that? David Murray, Johnny on the spot with everything you'd want to know. And, yeah, he's got hoops to go if you need it. Speaking of hoops, in about 17 minutes, one of the most knowledgeable hoop heads I know, and probably that you know as well, Cody Warsham, will join the program. In between, when we return, let's talk some football. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, and we'll bounce right back in to Rufino's on the River on 103.7 The Game.
You say tomato, I say tomato. The famous Clint D says something that none of us will agree with. Back to more top shelf analysis for your drive home. It's Bumper to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game.
Well, he's bigger, he's stronger. You know, he's added good quality weight there. I think that he's cleaned up his game relative to the pocket presence, drops, footwork. He's just playing much faster.
That's our man, Billy Napier, relative to Levi Lewis. I love that phrase. I might just adopt it. Bumper to Bumper Sports, right back out to Rufino's on the River on 103.7 The Game. Napier talking about his starting quarterback. And that's an interesting pivot point for the conversation I want to have now. We just had a great combo with a true pro in David Murray about Mississippi State sports. In about 11 minutes, we'll have a similar conversation with a similar caliber pro, Cody Warsham. But between now and then, I want to discuss potential Achilles heels. And it makes me queasy even saying those words as somebody who has, you know, ruptured an Achilles, but still we must forge ahead. So, CD, let's get to the music, and I've got an important set of questions.
Love, exciting, and
your sink or swim question of the day, it's asked one way, and it applies to three different teams. What's the one potential Achilles heel for LSU football, for Raging Cajuns football, and for New Orleans Saints football? Call us up. Give us your answers on one, two, or all three. The number to play, 706-0111. Clint, I'm watching people drink delicious beverages and eat delicious food, and so my eyes are watering. I'm going to be selfish and go first here. My take, LSU's potential Achilles heel, offensive line. Doesn't take a genius to come to that result, but my thing is it's more about the depth than the starting quality. It could be better if Ed Ingram were available, but I mean, short of that, I feel great about the starting quality that LSU is going to bring to the table for James Craig's unit. My problem is without Cardale Thomas, some have conjectured maybe he was destined for a red shirt, maybe yes, maybe no. But that would be a nice second-team offensive guard if you can have him. What's going to happen with the combination of Damian Lewis and Chasen Hines injured for the majority of fall camp so far? I've got some legitimate questions about the next men up. So for me, that's it on the LSU front. For the Raging Cajuns, it's the guy that Billy Napier was just speaking relative to. How did you not think I was going there? It's consistent quarterback play. I think Levi Lewis is absolutely capable of the spectacular. I think he's going to have entire games where he is spectacular. I'm talking about Sun Belt Conference Player of the Week level good. At times, even outshining some of his backfield mates. We know how good those guys are. Can he do it down in, down out, series in, series out, and his first full season as the guy? how's he going to fare over a 12-game stretch? I think a lot of the tools are there. I'm anxious to see if he can put it together. And so for me, that's a potential Achilles heel. I'm certainly not saying it's going to be something that falls the wrong way, but I think it's going to really hinge a lot of the Cajun season on how he performs. I'll go to the Saints. You could say this with any football team. I get it. But with a fairly veteran group, I think this is important. For me, it's late season health, namely with Breeze in that arm. The Saints looking like a juggernaut from the beginning of September through Thanksgiving is great. We all watched it last year. It's phenomenal. Everybody gets just built up to a fever pitch. But if you're not that same group in December and in particular in January, I'm not sure how much it matters. Now, I understand that the stripes had a lot to do with the Saints not advancing to the Super Bowl last year. You could say that was the hiccup. You could say that the refs are the potential Achilles heel. And I figure at least one of you will during the show today. But if we're saying things that they can control internally, how do they keep Breeze looking like the guy we saw last September and October come January? All right, Clint, I'm going to take a drink here while you go.
I'm going to copy off your notes at least once here, and I think it's obvious. It's got to be the offensive line for LSU, and a lot of the points that you brought up were absolutely perfect because that's the biggest thing that we can just look at heading into the season that we can say outright, how are they going to perform? That's the big question mark we've had since camp got started with a lot of the injuries. Cardale Thomas, after losing all that weight, he seemingly turned the corner and could have been a really good added depth to the program. Now he's out possibly for the entire season. That winds up taking away a lot of the depth on that offensive line. That's going to be the biggest thing for LSU. When it comes to the Cajuns, you brought up consistent quarterback play. I'm going to stick with the offensive line, but more so focus on one spot in particular, and that's the center position. Cole Perdomo brought a lot of continuity heading into the spring, heading into this fall camp before some of media days when we found out he was injured. He definitely was kind of the leader in the clubhouse after spring practice, after the spring game and everything. I think it's got to be what we see from Shane Vallow. Can it be some really good center play? Can he be that guy to lead that offensive line to really have great success, not just in terms of keeping Levi Lewis upright, but making sure your Raymond Calais, your Elijah Mitchells, and Trey Reguses, they wind up getting a lot of run, and they wind up getting those holes to where they can wind up going off on any Sun Belt team especially. I think that's the biggest thing for me is can Shane Vallow keep things going and keep things cohesive going forward? And then with the Saints, I think you brought up late season health. It's a perfect point. But I think it's all about one person only. It's Drew Brees, not in terms of his injury, but in terms of his arm strength, because we saw towards the end of the last season that his arm strength went down as those weeks progressed. Once that Thanksgiving game happened, things started to slow down for the Saints offense. If the Saints offense can stay at, let's say they stick around 65 as opposed to 70 miles an hour, if you're on the interstate hypothetically, they can wind up being really good and an absolute monster on the team. But if they wind up continuing to kind of drift away from that offense and winds up paying off quite well, it can wind up being a slog once you get into postseason play.
Or they could be like an Andy Reid coach team and be going about 85 for the regular season,
yeah,
and then all of a sudden the carburetor just blows out once,
yeah,
you get to the playoffs. That's another option. Hey, we've got some good responses via Facebook. I learned very quickly. I've been here close, not quite, but close to 4.5, knocking on the door 5 years. Lafayette, Acadiana, I live here now. We are a Facebook people. It's not a Twitter town like Baton Rouge was. And so let me give some kudos here to our Facebook family answering the sink or swim question of the day. Jamie G for LSU, he says it's injuries, especially O-line. For UL, defensive backs. For the Saints, O-line's health. Not bad. Nick H for LSU, it's the kicker. Yeah, they got a freshman. And Cade York. And for the Saints, he said number two wide receiver. I like that one as well. And Mike C, just crushing the game here. Potential Achilles heel. Mike C says, for LSU, it's Bama. For the Saints, it's the referees. For UL, themselves. So just all kinds of goodness going on the Facebook page. We got to hit a quick break. When we return, excited to catch up with Cody Warsham. A lot of LSU football and a little of LSU baloncesto in España. That's basketball in Spain. Boom, Rosetta Stone. We'll be right back in. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, live from Rufino's on the River. And in any language, you're listening to 103.7 The Game.
This show won't protect your quarterback or cover downfield, but it's got animal control down pat.
Oh, if you see a possum, try to kill it, okay? It's not a pet.
Back to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game.
I swear, Will Ferrell semi-pro drops just don't ever get old, not even a little bit. Aging like a fine wine, and appropriate because we're here at Rufino's on the River, plenty of people enjoying some fine wine right now. I'm ready for a fine interview. Let's head to Baton Rouge. Aboard the Artco Equipment Hotline, Cody Worsham, digital media reporter for LSU Sports, is with us. How the heck are you, Cody?
Doing great, Ben. How are you?
Hey, life is good here. You've been doing a lot of great work, I've noticed, with the Hey Fighting Tigers podcast. Take me through a couple of the guys that you've been able to sit down with. Jacoby Stevens, what'd you learn from him?
A lot. Jacoby's really smart. Thanks for letting me talk about it a little bit. Jacoby is just sharp as can be, really high IQ football player, and really a high IQ guy. I mean, the first thing we talked about was John Rockefeller, who Jacoby kind of has an obsession with, probably the richest man to ever live. And Jacoby is like his biographer, basically. I mean, he knows everything about the guy's life and what his family's doing now. So he's a guy that pays attention, you know, outside of the football arena, but inside the football arena as well. I mean, he's just super smart guy, and I think people probably can see that on the field, the way he plays. You can kind of play him all over the field. He bounced back and forth between offense and defense and safety and linebacker, and now he's kind of settled in at that safety spot. And really his problem, you know, when he was switching positions so much, was that he was overthinking. He was thinking too much and not reacting as much as he needed to, not trusting his instincts. So he's gotten back to trusting his instincts. You saw that late last year when I think he had 20 tackles over the last two games. And he was really great to sit down with. I think he's going to have a huge season this year for LSU.
We'll go to the offensive side of the football. Cody, I know that you also had a chance to speak with Thaddeus Moss. And so many of these kids that are famous people's sons. You and I dealt with this while covering Keith Hornsby. I noticed sometimes that they kind of deflect a little bit from who Pops was. Is it like that with Thaddeus?
A little bit. You know, he certainly wants to create his own identity. I mean, he's kind of like Keith, you know. I think that's a good comparison. He's really proud of his dad. And you know, even with Thaddeus, it's a much closer correlation because, you know, Keith Hornsby's dad was a famous musician. With that, it's football. Same thing he's trying to do, but slightly different position, slightly different skill set. And really, I think Thad embraces who his dad is. He's proud of his dad. He understands that a lot of his athletic gifts come from his dad. But he's also different. You know, he's a tight end. He's not the freakish explosive athlete that Randy Moss was, partly because no one's really the freakish explosive athlete that Randy Moss was. But he's really solid. He's got great hands, runs a great route. He's physical. It's balanced, you know, just like with any of these other kids whose fathers and mothers are kids. Embraces it and they're proud of their parents, but probably even bigger part of them wants to make their own identity. And the same thing with Bruce and Randy, they encourage their kids to do that. They don't want their kids to rest on their laurels. They want their kids to make their own names.
Talking with Cody Worsham of LSU Sports on 103.7 The Game. We'll go one more in football, then we got to talk LSU basketball overseas in Spain. I like getting with anybody who's seen practice, seen these scrimmages. I know you've had some of those kind of opportunities, Cody. Are you a believer in what you're seeing from the combination of Tyler Shelvin, Apu Aika, and some of the new faces in the middle of that D-line?
I think that's the area that still has the most to prove to me. Part of it is, you know, there's been some injuries on that front. They've had to rotate in and out. Part of it is the defense in some of these scrimmages has been missing the likes of Grant Delpit, Caleb-On Chaisson, Christian Fulton. I mean, you take those three guys out of a defense, it's going to take a step back. For sure, but that's the part of the ball that needs to, I think, prove the most early. I've seen flashes of it, and you know, another part of it is that Rashard Lawrence and Wade Bohoko have kind of rotated in and out as well. But Shelvin and Apu, you see the flashes, and what I want to see from them, and I know Coach O wants to see it, is just consistency. You know, if you can get consistency from both of those guys, you can get, you know, 40 snaps from one guy, 40 from another. You don't even need that many. You know, really 25 from each of them, and then split the rest among the rest of the guys you've got. If those guys can be dominant for 25 to 30 snaps a game each, then you've got a chance. I think that's going to be the difference this year between a very good defense and a great defense. If they can get the push up front, if those guys can dominate every play, not just one play here, one play there, if they can dominate just about every play, this defense has a chance to be not just a very good unit, maybe one of the best in the country.
Let's switch it over to LSU basketball. Cody, where you and I are more than just a little comfortable, and while Will Wade and the team went to the land of paella and bullfights, is it possible that this was a nice little reminder that some of us shouldn't be sleeping on Charles Manning?
Yeah, for sure. You know, when I went and watched them practice before they left for Spain, he was the guy that stood out to me most. Just you know, exceeded all my expectations. For those who don't know, he's a junior college guy. And Will Wade has called him since he's gotten on campus the best junior college player in the country from last year. And what stood out to me is not necessarily like, you know, a Marcus Thornton type of skill set where he's going to come in and give you 20 a night, although I think he can score for you. It was just the balance of his game. He can put it on the floor. He can score in transition. He can, you know, give you footwork around the rim with a Euro step or a little hesitation. He can handle it. He can shoot it. He defends four positions. He's a complete basketball player, and he seems to always be in the right spot. He does the right things. He goes about his business the right way. He's a Will Wade type of player. I mean, there's some Skylar Mace to him with his presence, with his IQ on the floor. But he's a different player. You know, he's longer. He's more of a natural two or three, whereas Skylar's kind of a point guard playing with two. But I'm really excited about Charles Manning. I think he's going to be a huge addition. You know, I went from thinking, all right, here's a guy that can come in and give you depth, to, hey, here's a guy that might be one of the better guards on the team and a guy that starts 20 games for you next season. He's a really good basketball player.
That's impressive. Coming down the stretch with Cody Warsham, digital media reporter for LSU Sports. Your other big takeaways from what LSU did in Spain, Cody?
Yeah, I mean, seeing Emmett Williams score the way he did in the first game, which was probably the toughest game that they played, that's encouraging. You know, he doesn't have to do that every night. You get 28-9, but he had some jumpers. He showed that he can, you know, create some offense for you. I think the consistency that Trenton Watford played with, I think he's going to be a guy that can really just do just about everything for you. That was really encouraging to see. And then, you know, kind of the bit players, you know, it was good to see Cortese Cooper get a double-double. It was good to see Andre Hyatt score some points. Those aren't guys I think you're going to start a bunch of games for you next year, but it's the difference between, you know, a win here and a loss there. They're guys that are going to make differences on the back end of the bench for you, especially if you get in injury trouble, you get in foul trouble. You need those guys to step up. So it's good to see that they can get some contribution out of them, especially Cortese. This is a team that doesn't have a ton of size right now. I'm sure they're going to try to add one more big before it's all said and done. But, you know, if Cortese can give you 4 to 8 minutes of productive play, if he can give you 10 or 12 minutes here or there, depending on foul trouble, that's going to push this team to another level. So those are a few of the things that stand out. Really, though, you know, Emmett Williams playing like he did, Trenton Watford playing like he did, that's 2 5-star bigs. So for all the talk about, you know, LSU doesn't have enough bigs or whatever, that's two guys that are your 4 or 5 that are 5-star guys and put up numbers. So that was good to see.
All right, we'll get you out of here with a little bit of fun. You do so much on game day, especially with the social media, right? It's the pictures, the videos, forms of social media I don't even know exist. Are you just packing like mad mobile batteries all day long? How do you do that?
Well, I have 2 phones, so that helps. And I always make sure to charge one while I'm using the other. So that combination can usually get me through. I'm not going to lie, the little power saving mode, like where your battery turns yellow, that's bailed me out a few times. And there's been a few times I've had to, you know, go find an outlet and sit down for a second. But usually the 2 phones will get the trick done.
Hold on a minute. I'm not even being funny anymore. I live in the yellow battery saving mode. Are you not supposed to do that?
You know, there's some debate online if you really dig deep into Reddit and the Internet Archives that it's really a scam, that the yellow battery setting doesn't work. I think it does work, but I think if you're doing it like where you're doing it and you're always on yellow, then I think it becomes less efficient. That's not scientifically based. That's just kind of like my my observation of my own phone. But, hey, man, you do you. Whatever works for you works.
You might have just ruined my day a little bit. But the interview was slamming, and you know I appreciate that part. Cody, thanks for the time, dude.
All right, Ben. Thanks, man.
That's awesome. Not the last part. I mean, that's less than awesome. If you know what he's talking about, even if you don't, I'll explain it to you briefly. I got about 40 seconds for the final word, CD. When it gets to 80% or above, even if you're in battery save mode, it takes you out of it. And so literally, I charge mine to 100, and then I go right to battery saver mode, and I try to let that sit. I mean, right now, here we go, battery saver mode, boom, 28%. By the end of the show, it will probably be dead. So Cody's trying to teach me things. Am I receptive enough to learn? Magic 8-Ball says maybe. All right, CD, let's get to that one final word.
What's up, Acadiana? I'm Gabe Broussard from Strange Theories and Season 11 of The Boys. It's almost 5 o'clock. Now it's time for the final word of the hour, and it's presented to you by me and my family at the Village Station. We are your final stop to fill up your stomach and your tank when you're heading home on Maurice Avenue. Now, here's Ben. His voice is pretty nice, but I don't think he could ever make two chairs turn.
Shame. And look, everybody thinks that Tom Brady just gets everything that he wants, right? It's Tom Brady. He's married to Giselle. He's the GOAT. Earlier today, TB12 was denied his trademark appeal that he made for the Tom Terrific label. That's right. So Tom Terrific is a trademark that does not belong to Tom Brady. If you're out there and your name is Tom, it might as well be yours. And, well, he didn't get something he wanted. What a shame. That's the final word of this hour, and it's brought to you by the Village Station. We'll be right back in. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, live from Rufino's on the River on 103.7 The Game.
We interrupt our regular program for this special event.
All systems are go at this time.
It's time for the kickoff.
30 seconds.
Standing by. Okay, listen up.
Get ready for the ride of your lives.
Live and local from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
Number one.
We are number one.
103.7 The Game.
KLWB, Karen Crow, Lafayette.
Let's get down to it.
And this is Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
And live online at 1037thegame.com.
Is that who I think it is?
The wild, the weird, and the wonderful.
Hell yeah!
And now let's get started.
We are off and running. Hour 2 of 3 underway. Ben Love here at Rufino's on the River. Celebrating life, having some fun as the weekend really in full effect now. Bumper to Bumper Sports back with you on 1037 The Game for the next hour. In 35 minutes, the famous Clint D. joining us from inside the 237 Roof Studios, always presented by Lafayette Roofing. We'll have David Hellman to talk Dallas Cowboys football. How about them Cowboys? And is anybody getting the money and the extension they want in Jason Garrett's backfield? David Hellman hopping aboard, a New Orleans native, LSU grad. He'll be with us at 5:45. Between now and then, we got a lot to cover. And I'll do this a little differently than you're used to. Not going to regurgitate anything from the 4 o'clock hour. I'm not going to give you LSU, UL, Saints news of the day because, frankly, there ain't none. And that ain't good English, but I don't care. There's nothing new to tell you. They're scrimmaging. They're playing preseason games this weekend. Monday, we'll have more news and more updates. Today, I'm going to give you 4 newsy items right off the bat. Some of them local to us here in Louisiana. Some of them more nationwide. But stick with me here. Some things you probably haven't heard about today. I'm going to learn you something here in our 5 o'clock hour. The RCAF. Yeah, they were a pretty big topic of conversation last week when we were here at Rufino's on the River. But the Raging Cajuns Athletic Foundation, their board of directors announced 5 new members today that will be in place for the 2019-2020 athletic season. Some pretty big names here. Joining the board, all-time great softball coach. He's also been here to Rufino's on the River with us. A Louisiana Sports Hall of Famer, Yvette Girard. Eric Hike, now working as an attorney in town for Hike, Menville, and Grubbs out of New Iberia. Elliot Myers, a nurse practitioner and administrator for the LHC Group. Gus Rantz. Again, Gus, a friend of the program, as his brother Ronnie is as well. Gus serving as president of the Acadiana Management Group. And finally, last but not least, Jerry Vaskoku, market president of Iberia Bank for the Lafayette, New Iberia Community Markets of Louisiana. So pretty cool here as the RCAF getting some more members in on its team to continue to build. Says chairman of the board, Brian Hanks, the RCF is honored to add these five new board members. Individually, each is an outstanding person and community leader while also possessing a passion for Ragin' Cajun athletics. Each has a vision to continue to grow our university. Collectively, they represent a fantastic cross-section of our overall community and have the ability to help with our organization's fundraising needs and obligations. They will lend insight, vision, and knowledge toward achieving all of the RCAF's goals. It's pretty big names there from around our community, all getting their hands dirty and ready to help grow things and plant a lot of seeds for the RCAF and Ragin' Cajun's athletics. All right, a second bit of news to share with you. This came from out of the New Orleans area last night. All eyes on football this time of year, and that means high school football. And I told you that last night, our good friend Shay Dixon, go247.com, was watching U High and St. Charles Catholic. In particular, big fella, Jaquellen Roy, along the D-line for U High. That's an LSU commit. Well, out of New Orleans, well, this is making some news that'll reverberate throughout the country, I do believe. Arch Manning, a freshman quarterback for, you guessed it, the Isidore Newman Greenies, threw four touchdowns. He's the starting quarterback for Newman. That was a scrimmage against Archbishop Hannon. What did you take away from that? There's going to be another Manning QB coming out of Newman. He'll be, as his brothers were, a huge recruit throughout the Southeast, and all the early scuttlebutt is down the line when it's his time to commit and eventually sign somewhere, the Ole Miss Rebels, where grandfather Archie and even his dad, don't forget this is the son of Cooper Manning, and then older brother Eli, or I guess Uncle Eli, excuse me, I'm getting my family tree mixed up, but Arch Manning throwing four touchdowns in a scrimmage versus Archbishop Hannon. Let's continue with some of your news of the day. We'll spread this outside of the state of Louisiana, but as always, it's got a tentacle inside of the boot. Dwight Howard, announced within the last hour, will be signing with the Los Angeles Lakers. Predictable, and this is go-round number two for D-Ho in La La Land. He has a buyout that's been finalized with the Memphis Grizzlies. Clint, I bet a lot of money you could not have told me that Dwight Howard was currently owned by the Memphis Grizzlies, or his rights at least were. That's a real thing. Not anymore, though. He's with the Los Angeles Lakers. It's a one-year, non-guaranteed deal, but here is your arm that reaches back toward South Louisiana. The reason he's there? Well, it's all because DeMarcus Boogie Cousins is down with injury and likely to be out for the 2019-2020 season. So the former Pelican, I'm telling you right now, the more time that goes and passes, the more obvious it is one of the best things that could have ever happened to the Pelicans franchise was not inking Boogie Cousins to the reported two-year $40 million deal that was being stretched toward him. I mean, seriously, that was kind of the beginning of the end. After that, Anthony Davis didn't feel the love, no commitment to having other winners on the team, and so he's gone, and now the future is looking pretty darn bright with Zion Williamson at the helm. But Dwight Howard going to play with Anthony Davis and LeBron James for the Los Angeles Lakers. And I have one final note in our opening segment. This is kind of like the NBC infomercial, The More You Know, open to our 5 o'clock hour. And this is a mixture of entertainment and athletics. In the year 2019, does it happen any other way? Matthew McConaughey, Clint, joins the Austin FC ownership group from the MLS.
All right, all right, all right.
Hey, we're going to come back to that because you know I have a bone to pick with you on that soundbite from Dazed and Confused. Wooderson, one of the best characters in any movie ever. Let's put a pin in it. We'll come back to it because I'll tell you why it's interesting. You know, if you listen to the show regularly, I'm about three weeks removed from a trip out to Atlanta. Went to go take in a Braves game at SunTrust Park. It's beautiful out there. It's phenomenal. Here's what I could tell you, in case you don't know this. Those people are bat bleep crazy about Atlanta United Soccer, and this is not a joke. They regularly sell out Mercedes-Benz, what do they call theirs over there? I don't know. There you go, Clint. Mercedes-Benz Stadium. They regularly sell that place out. And I looked it up just to kind of confirm some things. Yes, Arthur Blank typically will do what a lot of people do. He'll modify the seating for the soccer to where they can only sit about 50 or 55,000 and they sell it out. But for big opportunities, like when I was in town, I believe they were playing a team from overseas. And for the playoffs, they open up the entire thing. And Atlanta packs that beast, 70,000 plus. So somehow, some way, despite us being a terrible men's national team, the U.S. is starting to grow in certain pockets, at least, huge soccer followings. Atlanta certainly is one. The Seattle Sounders, we know, is another. Portland has a huge club as well. But I'll connect some dots here, Clint, because I heard when I was over in Atlanta, some of these football fanatics suddenly, wink, wink, they got tired of following the Falcons, so now they're on the Atlanta United bus. But they told me that David Beckham's got a large control of the ownership group to plant an MLS team in Miami. So here you go. David Beckham is bending it in Miami to get a squad up and running. Matthew McConaughey in Austin. And I'm told that sooner than later, the plan is to have this thing try to grow into a model that you see overseas, for example, with the Premier League, to where there are enough squads that relegation is possible. Just some things for you to chew on a little bit. Now, back to the Wooderson drop. You told me, I gave you my itinerary for the day, and when I said I was coming to legit news that involves sports and Matthew McConaughey, you told me you were playing the all right, all right, all right clip. I said, that's fine. I'll abide that. But don't get the most trademarked, if you will, the most recognizable Wooderson clip from that movie confused with the best thing that came out of his mouth in that movie. I'll let you play that now.
That's what I love about these high school girls, man. I get older, they stay the same age.
I mean, not even a debate. That's the best Wooderson line from that entire movie. We'll take a break. I'll let you cogitate and then call us up at 706-0111. Just a beautiful line. Bumper to Bumper Sports, having a beautiful show and a beautiful time at Rufino's on the River. And we'll be right back on 103.7 The Game.
Whether he's sinking or swimming, Ben Love is just the guy to lead you in the right direction as you make your way back home from work. Now, back to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game.
Right back in indeed. Having a lot of fun today at Rufino's on the River. A nice bar crowd. We've had some that have come in and out, others that are just settling in before dinner. Come join us if you can. They've got wine by the glass half off between now and the time this show ends at 6:35. CD, you and I have a couple of, benchmarks we try to hit every show. We ask a sink or swim question, and we like to throw shade in different hours of the program. We're getting more answers for our sink or swim questions, so let me throw it back on the wall, and we'll see what sticks. I asked, what's the one potential Achilles heel for LSU, UL, the Saints? Answer one, answer all. And we're getting more responses right now on Facebook, so let's hit it. I like this, Clint. This is actually a group, so I don't have to worry about outing somebody for not working in front of their boss right now. The Acadiana chapter of the Houdat Nation responds, lack of good hot boudin is the one potential Achilles heel for the Saints this year, CD.
I'm almost speechless on that one, Ben. That is absolutely amazing. Boudin is the biggest Achilles heel for the Saints in 2019. That's amazing.
Kevin A. responds, injuries, injuries, injuries for all three. Nick D., he went in on only LSU, and he said it's the O-line. And how about this? At the buzzer, Treg M. says for LSU it's the O-line. For the Saints, potential Achilles heel, P.J. Williams. And for UL, okay, I sense the hate here. Offense, defense, and special teams. All right, all right, all right. It's amazing, dude. We live in an area where apparently you just can't be a fan of both. Not even going to hit you with the can't we all just get along rhetoric. Not even going to try to. But what I will do, while we're discussing some of the response we're getting, it doesn't always come via social media. Sometimes we get hit up, people sliding into DMs, messaging the show via text and call. Clint, after you and I played my favorite Wooderson line from the movie Dazed and Confused. This is Matthew McConaughey's character. By the way, kick it one more time. My favorite line.
That's what I love about these high school girls, man. I get older, they stay the same age.
So while I threw that your way, somebody texted to the program. I got to find a way to modify this. We love to keep it sacred for the kids here on B2BS. Basically, when the young freshman-to-be gets into the car that Wooderson is driving and he turns around and he says, do you got a blank? And we'll leave it blank. And then I can say the end of the line. He said, be a lot cooler if you did. Okay, that's a worthy adversary to my favorite Wooderson line from the movie, but we'll just stick with the last phrase. Be a lot cooler if you did is an all-time Matthew McConaughey line.
It really is. That one's a phenomenal one. Can't believe you didn't throw that one your way right out the gate when you were kind of talking about the show.
I can't exactly play that, can I?
Well, at least the ending of it.
You know what? Maybe we should just fill in the blank with like what we want it to be. You know what I mean?
A sandwich?
I mean, I'm at Rufino's on the River. My palate's a little more refined than that right now. So, you know, got any crab meat cheesecake? Be a lot cooler if you did. You know, like that kind of thing. We might have to see if we could find our way toward making that a thing as well. Call us up. Let us know your thoughts on any and everything that we're coming up with on a beautiful Friday. 706-0111. Airwaves are clear. Traffic control is CD. He'll help you land the plane, and it'll all work out smoothly. In about 24 minutes, David Hellman, DallasCowboys.com, going to talk about the money that Louisiana native Dak Prescott wants, the money and the years on the extension that Zeke Elliott wants, and a late September Sunday night football showdown between the Saints, the Cowboys. It's coming up in about 5 weeks from the Mercedes-Benz Superdome. So between now and then, hey, all we have to do is throw some shade. Let me rephrase that. All we get to do is throw some shade. And luckily for us, Noah Syndergaard has plenty to go around for everybody. I was thinking about the shade in this segment, CD. What say you? Should we launch right into it? Just want to make sure that the airlines or the phone lines, there it is, that's clear right now.
Yeah, we're all clear. We can go ahead and fire that off right about now.
All right, just checking. You exited your last speech pattern quickly, and after 4.5 years, I usually recognize that to be Clint is taking a phone call. So always fun to be on the road and do a live radio show. Which leads me to my daily reminder. No one throws shade outside your home or business like the pros at Patio Center. Go to the website, patiocenter.com. Check out the retractable shades and screens, the standing seam metal awnings, and the customized patio covers with the cypress accents. And know that you could trust their professional installers inside your home. You could trust Alex to put up your shades and awnings, while Todd, he'll take care of the installation of your patio covers in those gorgeous customizable screen rooms. Collectively, the team at Patio Center is ready to up your patio game in 2019. And all it takes to start, a trip to their website, patiocenter.com. The kings of customization, it's never one size fits all for the licensed, insured, and bonded professionals at Patio Center.
It's time for Throwing Shade on Bumper to Bumper Sports. Nobody throws shade outside your home or business like Patio Center. Visit the website at patiocenter.com.
Perhaps a little shade at me, unscripted, but thinking that Clint was taking a call. Just that pathetic guy sitting at home on a Friday night wondering if his phone is going to ring. But we did have some that was planned for today, so let's get to that. And Clint, this is pretty good. I'm going to give you credit here. You scooped this up from the interwebs. The Cleveland Indians yesterday tweeted out the following. It's a long season. We didn't erase an 11.5-game deficit to roll over. We split a series with one of the best teams in Major League Baseball at their home ballpark. We lost the last two to a fringe postseason team. We understand your frustration. Get it out of here. Let's renew perspective. So a few things before we launch into Noah Syndergaard of the Mets and how we just flipped that on its head. The Indians literally dispatched a tweet telling their fan base to have patience. That's usually not the way to handle any lunatic fringe, which certainly a fan base kind of classifies. I mean, that's the equivalent of guys, if you ever look at your lady and you say, is everything okay? Yeah, I'm fine. Are you sure? Is everything? Just stop asking if everything's okay. You're only going to make it worse. So The Indians tweeting this to their fan base to me was the wrong way to go in the first place. But I love the fact that they said we lost the last two to a fringe postseason team. And yes, they're referring to the New York Mets. And star pitcher Noah Syndergaard quote tweeted that with the following. Here's the real shade. We got some fringe for you right here. We call it a sweep in New York City. That is absolutely incredible. And Clint, he stamped it home with a hashtag LFGM, which I'm going to guess is an acronym for Let's Bleeping Go Mets. Not bad at all. Noah Syndergaard just putting a little bit of a spike into the hearts of the Cleveland Indians Twitter guy.
We're done throwing shade on Bumper to Bumper Sports. For now, you want your life made in the shade? Visit PetioCenter.com and explore ways to improve life outside your home or business.
We got some fringe for you right here. We call it a sweep in New York City. Clint, there's one more that I'll share with you. And I'll have to get you to maybe even explain this one to me, because I'm not sure that I'm Twitter savvy enough to even get this. But the University of Florida official Twitter account tweeted out yesterday at 11 a.m. game day. Game day, they tweeted out. And the Miami official account immediately came back and said, weird flex, but okay. What exactly is Florida getting after there 48 hours early?
I have no idea. The only thing that I could think of, and this is coming from a perspective of somebody who deals with social media a lot more of a professional manner, like usually you're going to wind up scheduling some tweets out over the course of several days just to kind of make sure all that's taken care of. And I feel like this was one that wound up kind of getting past the goalie and hit send instead of schedule tweet to go out at like on Saturday at, let's say, 9, 10 o'clock in the morning.
I think that's exactly what happened. I really think you're perfectly on point with that guess. But Florida football at 11 p.m. last night tweeted out game day. It's going to be hard to win the game if you're there 40 hours early. All right, we're halfway through with our 5 o'clock hour. We're going to come back in. Didn't get to any sound from LSU football yesterday, so we'll make sure to kick that your way on the other side, plus an interview with David Hellman, DallasCowboys.com. In about 25, now less than that, actually, scratch it, more like 18 minutes. There's the math. University of Georgia math. You got to give me a minute there. But we found it. David Hellman at 5:45. Clinton, I'll do the week that was at 6, and a Q&A replay with Ryan Terrio at 6:15. One of the best interviews this show has had in quite some time, so you don't want to miss it. We'll be back in. More Bumper to Bumper Sports coming at you live from Rufino's on the River and always on Acadiana Sports Station. 1037 The Game and 1037thegame.com.
Let's get back to more of Ben Love and Bumper to Bumper Sports, where we practically wrote the rules of football on 103.7 The Game.
I love it. Just steering right into the skid. All kind of dazed and confused references. On the program today, 34 minutes after 5 o'clock, here we are, back into Rufino's on the River, and here we go to some of the best sound from Ed Ogeron in the last 24 to 36 hours. Tigers getting ready for a third preseason scrimmage inside Tiger Stadium tomorrow. Here's what O had to say leading up to the festivities. First off, he feels as if this team has taken full advantage of this third week of practice.
I really feel that we took advantage of this week. Last year, this time we were in school. This year we don't start school until next Monday. So we had an extra week of walkthroughs in the mornings and meetings in the mornings, and our guys have taken complete advantage. And I think our coaches have done a tremendous job. We looked at preseason game number 2 on Sunday. We graded it extensively, especially on effort, misassignments, technique. And then we moved right on to Georgia Southern.
Again, it's been one of the themes of this week. Number 1, stay healthy, right? Try to have as little injuries as you can. Rest guys if they're even borderline. Number 2, It's less about us, and now it starts to be more about them. LSU getting ready, of course, for Georgia Southern in the opener a week from tomorrow night inside Tiger Stadium. You can just about taste it. All right, more from head coach Ed Orgeron, this time on a brewing battle, a position battle at tight end.
I'll tell you what now, Thaddeus Moss has had an excellent camp. So has Stephon. Those guys are coming along. T.K. McClendon is getting better as blocking. Jamal Pettigrew looked good today. That tight end position is coming alive.
I think coming into August, maybe the presumption was that it's Stephon Sullivan's job to lose. I mean, they moved him from wide out to tight end, I think, for a reason. They felt that he had the body frame to handle it, but maybe more than that, obviously, he's going to give one heck of a mismatch to any linebacker, safety, I mean, combo type of corner, any kind of Jacoby Stevens type of cat that they try to throw at him. He's just a mismatch anywhere. And so interesting that Thaddeus Moss is starting to, I guess at least somewhat, challenge a bit of that tight end establishment. More from LSU football head coach Ed Orgeron. He was asked about lingering question marks on his team heading into the season opener. Here's his response.
Tackling in open space, being assignment sound, option. Some guys playing for the first time under the lights, catching the ball. You know, Derek Skinner's going to return punts. I think he's going to be fantastic, but he's a freshman returning punts for the first time. You know, Cade Yorks is going to go out there. He's been phenomenal in camp, but he's going to kick in front of 102,000 people. So those things, just new guys, see how they're going to perform. But I'm very confident in this team and this coaching staff.
You know, it's interesting. That's a really great open-ended question. Not to get too far into Journalism 101 here, but that's the way you do it, right? Don't ask a yes-no question. Ask good, basic, open-ended questions. And that one allowed for Orgeron to take it where he wanted, and he steered it, you'll notice, several times over into special teams. And again, I think he's so much more transparent than Les Miles ever was. And I'm not saying that's necessarily the right way to go, but it's at least refreshing based on some of the yarn that Miles liked to spin. And so when he takes that question and steers it right to special teams for Cade York, does it again for his freshman punt returner, I don't think he's concerned or worried about any of those guys, but it's fair for him to note that they are lingering questions. Why? Well, they haven't done it before at the college level, and like he said, now you got to do it in front of 102,000 people. All right, two more from Ed Orgeron. Then we'll have our final break of the hour. Next up, a guy that has been somewhat forgotten just due to all the great names maybe ahead of him in the wide receiver depth chart. But here's Ed Orgeron on another big target, Racy McMath.
You know, Racy's very strong. I think Racy's one of the best special teams players in the SEC. And he's caught the ball a lot better. He's learned his assignments. He's very strong with his hands. And he's very dangerous with the ball in his hands. Yards after catch.
You know, interesting that he again mentioned special teams with McMath. And so you could picture him as one of those kind of upbacks, right, that's blocking for kick returners. But if they try and squib it and it goes his way, they may regret that because he's got hands and he can run with it, as Orgeron suggested there. So it'll be interesting to see if he can factor in and maybe beat out guys like Terrace Marshall for some snaps here and there. Finally, we're going to end up with an area that's not a lingering question, quarterback. And while Orgeron, understandably, is defensive-oriented, guy that's made his living and kind of made his bones coaching up D-lines across the country, he recognizes a good thing when he sees it, and an experienced player when he sees one. According to Orgeron, Joe Brady has been nothing short of sensational when healthy this August.
Been awesome. Awesome. And let me tell you something. It starts with Steve Ensminger. He's done a phenomenal job. They're in there. He's got a little bed in his office. I don't think he's been home yet. I think they go home. They end their meetings at 12, and they get up about 5. And he's done a phenomenal job of working. Joe's put in a tremendous offense. Steve has put in the wrinkles that we've done before in some cases, and I think it's been a tremendous mix.
It's always fascinating to me how coaches, whether they're OCs or the head coach, you know, the workaholics that you hear about, and then some of the ones that are maybe less than that. I remember in his waning days as the head coach at South Carolina, Steve Spurrier would openly talk about the fact that he doesn't really recruit. He just gets a call occasionally from one of his assistants or a text that says, hey, we need you to pick up when we call in an hour. We'll be at a kid's house. And he picks up and says, hey, welcome to South Carolina. And then they'd show him at practice, and he's got flip-flops on and no shirt. He's out there being Steve Spurrier. That guy wasn't falling asleep at the office, you know, cot at midnight and waking up at 5 a.m. But according to Ed Orgeron, Steve Insminger, Slinger doing just that. All right, one final pit stop in our 5 o'clock hour. On the other side, David Hellman, DallasCowboys.com. They've been a big story. Dak Prescott, Zeke Elliott, what's going on with those guys, and how are they angling toward a preseason matchup coming up this weekend with the Houston Texans? So David Hellman, when we return, and a Q&A replay with Ryan Terrio at 6:15. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, coming right back in on 103.7 The Game.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station, and you're listening to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game, live online at 103.7thegame.com. Follow on Facebook and Twitter now at 103.7 The Game.
Back in one more time for your 5 o'clock hour, and we've been talking a lot of Saints. We do that just about every day. Let's get to America's team. They've been getting a lot of run for some of the right reasons, some of maybe the less than right reasons, just contractual stuff, but we're going to get to the bottom of it. Aboard the Ardco Equipment Hotline, time to bring back our good friend David Hellman, staff writer for DallasCowboys.com, and a man that I trust because he still has a 504 area code. How are you, David?
You can have my 504 area code phone number when you pry it out of my cold, dead hand. It's like my last bit of evidence that I'm not a full-blown Texan. It's like all I have left, so I got to hold on to it.
Respect. All right, you know we want to know about the two backfield battery mates. We'll start with Ezekiel Elliott. Rumblings over the last couple of weeks that Jerry Jones and company are willing to make him the second highest paid running back in the league. I guess what can you tell us on that front? And I don't think it's a matter of if this gets done, but when. Am I right about that?
I'm interested, to be totally honest with you. So, I mean, we've been hearing rumblings for a while. I think, you know, word came out a few weeks ago that the Cowboys had offered him a top five running back contract, but you always knew that that really meant top two because Todd Gurley and Le'Veon Bell are in such a different stratosphere than everybody else. I mean, you know, I think it's Devontae Freeman with Atlanta who has the number four salary, and that's only $8 million. You knew Zeke Elliott was never gunning for $8 million a year. He's gunning for 13, 14, 15, you know, that range. So it makes sense that he's up there with Gurley and Bell. I think the key is going to be how much of it is guaranteed. Obviously, you know, Zeke got suspended a couple years ago. He's had a litany of off-the-field issues. You know, I don't see very many reasons why the Cowboys completely trust him. And so I think the guarantees on the deal are going to be the big sticking point. You know, I'm curious because I do think a deal is going to get done. It sounds like it could happen very soon, certainly before the regular season. But at the same time, I don't 100% buy that Zeke would be willing to sit out of regular season games. He makes roughly $250,000 per week. And also, the Cowboys own his rights for the next, you know, 3 years if they want to. So I don't think he stands to gain a whole lot by missing out on that money. It's just a matter of, you know, would the Cowboys want to play hardball? And I don't really think so, because I think Zeke has been such an important part of this thing for the last 3 years that I think eventually something will get done, but it just, like I said, I think the guarantees are what's holding things up right now.
Okay, so I'll use your own phrasing there. Do you believe right now that starting quarterback Dak Prescott is trying to play hardball with this front office? Is there really that much of a struggle to get reportedly from $30 to $40 million a season?
Not really. I mean, Dak's not playing hardball by simple virtue of the fact that he's here. You know, he's at training camp. He's practicing. He's playing preseason games. There's no indication that he's making life difficult on the Cowboys. It just so happens, you know, he hired one of the biggest agencies in the country to get him absolute top dollar if they can. You know, the report is that he's gunning to try to get up there with Russell Wilson at $35 million a year. We'll see if that actually happens, but I think that's the point of contention there. But the thing with that is, it's interesting because what? We're we're 10 days away from the season getting going when they make their roster cuts, or 9 days, whatever it is. And like I said, like there's no sign of like hostility. Like Dak's not going to hold out, or it certainly doesn't seem like it. So I wonder if there's pressure to get it done because the season's about to start. But if they don't, for some reason, I don't think it's going to change anything drastically. So I think there's a little less sense of urgency to hammer that one out than there is with Zeke, just by virtue of the fact that he's not here right now.
Chopping it up with David Hellman, staff writer at DallasCowboys.com. I know you're in the Big D, and you don't have to leave there until the regular season. Why? Because the Cowboys aren't leaving again to play preseason games. The Houston Texans coming to town this weekend. Give our listeners a bit of a taste, obviously not too much for the preseason, but how the Cowboys are set to hit the ground running for the regular season.
Yeah, it's kind of a it looks good, and yet the thing that worries me is just how many guys are going to be ready. You know, the offenses look great and the opportunities that they've gotten. Dak hasn't thrown an incompletion yet in the preseason. They drove right down the field, 97-yard touchdown drive in Honolulu last weekend. The rookie running back, Tony Pollard, looked great. What worries me is there's quite a few Pro Bowlers that aren't playing right now. Amari Cooper is dealing with plantar fasciitis. Zeke is obviously holding out. Tyron Smith and Zach Martin, you know, two of the best offensive linemen in the NFL, have been limited by back injuries. DeMarcus Lawrence has yet to practice while he recovers from a shoulder surgery. Byron Jones has yet to practice while he recovers from a hip surgery. And Robert Quinn has a broken hand and also found out, you know, a week or two ago that he'd be suspended the first two games. So I think I just named like seven Pro Bowlers whose status is in doubt right now. I think a lot of that stuff is minor. I think the vast majority of those guys will be available when the regular season opens on September 8th. But you'd probably feel a lot better about it if you had a chance to see some of those guys. So we'll see how quickly they can shake the rust off, because a lot of them are not going to have had a very long preseason.
How good do you expect this defense to be in 2019? You named a couple of guys there, including Robert Quinn, but we didn't yet get to the guy who just inked a big extension at linebacker. I'll let you touch on what you expect from him. And then obviously, Leighton Van Der Esch looked to be a great first-round pick as a rookie. I'm sure he'll only get better.
And I don't like to set high expectations because you never know what's going to happen, but there's no reason why this shouldn't be a top-five defense. And again, let's just assume that these guys are all rounding into good health and are available, but you've got an all-pro pass rusher in DeMarcus Lawrence who's hit 14, 15 sacks the last two seasons. You're adding Robert Quinn, who, yeah, Robert Quinn's probably not what he used to be, but paired with a guy like DeMarcus Lawrence, that's a pretty nice combination. You have, for my money, outside of maybe Seattle, I think Van Der Esch and Jalen Smith, you know, probably top two or three linebacker core in the NFL. They're so athletic. They're so talented. So you have them locked down now that Jalen signed here. You have them locked down for at least four more years. And then this secondary all through training camp has really shown signs of coming on. They don't have Byron Jones, who was an all-pro last year, and still these second name guys, Cheeto Awuzier, Jordan Lewis, Xavier Woods, the third year safety. They have been getting hands on footballs all through training camp, honestly making life miserable on Dak Prescott in the majority of these practices. And they just look like they're ready to take another step. So this was already a defense that was top five last year. I think they were sixth in scoring. Remember, they held that explosive Saints team to 10 points, which is still one of the most incredible things I've ever seen. And I think they're more talented than they were last year, so sky's the limit.
Wrapping up with David Hellman on 103.7 The Game. It's interesting you would mention that contest. That was played at Jerry World. That was a Thursday night game. This year, it'll be Sunday night, September the 29th, Cowboys at the Saints. I know there's so much, David, that's going to happen over the course of the next 5 weeks or so, but give me an early handicapping of that contest because it should be a dandy.
Man, you know, the Cowboys and Saints haven't played a ton over the last few years, but like every time they do, it feels like it's a measuring stick game. Obviously, last year the Cowboys stopped that Saints winning streak and kind of announced themselves as a contender. And even, you know, going all the way back to 2014, I remember, you know, the Cowboys were under a lot of people's radars, and they beat the Saints pretty bad here in Dallas early in the season, and you know, went on to, I think, win 12 games that year and make the playoffs. So how they do against the Saints hasn't been an indicator of how good they are in recent years, and that obviously makes sense with how good the Saints have been. Clearly, nobody's sneaking up on the Saints. They're one of the two or three best teams in the NFC for my money, and I don't think a lot of people are sneaking up on the Cowboys with how they ended last season. So you don't want to put too much expectation on one game, but I think, you know, that's two of the, I would say, five best teams in the NFC fighting it out, and I won't be surprised if either one of those teams is in the conference title game when it's all said and done. So should be a fun preview of what to expect.
You see how we went full circle there, right? We led off with the 504 area code and ended with a game played in the 504?
Trust me, just speaking as a person and not as a reporter, like, nothing is worse for me than when the Cowboys play the Saints. Because everybody from home hates me because I cover the Cowboys, and everybody from Dallas hates me because I'm from New Orleans. Like, no matter what happens, everybody thinks I'm against them. So I'm sure it'll be a great game. Last year's game was thrilling, but I'll be happy when it's over.
I'm embarrassed to tell you I know what that feels like as a guy who went to the University of Georgia, covered LSU for so many years.
Sure.
Dude, it's like being in the AL, right? They've got the designated hitter. You're just kind of the designated loser in that spot.
You don't get to feel good no matter what happens because everybody on both sides thinks that you're the traitor. So, although I hope it's a great game, and I'll be very happy when I don't have to talk about it anymore.
I can relate. Hey, thanks for coming and relating some of what's happening with the Cowboys on our program today. David, be well, man. We'll catch up soon.
Absolutely, man. Thanks for having me.
That guy right there, pretty darn good on the mic, really good with a pen, or I guess you would say a keyboard, but I'll tell you this, even better in person. And we might have just spawned something that hopefully doesn't become either of our nicknames moving forward, designated loser. I'll let you chew on that. We are 2 hours in, having a lot of fun, and celebrating life at Ruffino's on the river. We're coming right back around, want to recap the week that was. And then one of the best interviews that, well, ever was, at least on this show, at least for this week. Q&A replay with Ryan Terrio. Baseball fans, tune in about 15 minutes. We're coming right back out. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, and we are live from Ruffino's on the River on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game and 103.7thegame.com.
Interrupt our regular program for this special event.
All systems are go at this time.
It's time for the kickoff.
30 seconds.
Standing by.
Okay, listen up.
Get ready for the ride of your lives.
Live and local from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
Number one.
We are number one.
103.7 The Game.
KLWB. Karen Crow Lafayette.
Let's get down to it.
And this is Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
And live online at 103.7thegame.com.
Is that who I think it is?
The wild, the weird, and the wonderful.
Hell yeah.
And now let's get started.
Right back in it and ready to roll. The third hour underway. Yeah, Bumper to Bumper Sports right back at it on 103.7 The Game. Ben Love here, and it's the only way to do it on a Friday. Celebrating life. Live at Ruffino's on the river. The famous Clint D in tow from the 237 Roof Studios presented by Lafayette Roofing. And let's move him in to the fray. The famous Clint D, join me here. Shall you, brother? We got time for a little week that was action. LSU, UL, both transitioning from working on us to working on them. Officially game prep time. When it comes to the Cajuns, getting ready for Mississippi State. And, boy, suddenly their opening week opponent has some bangs going on. It's Starkville. LSU starting to shift toward the option attack of Georgia Southern. Jontre Kirkland giving them a little scout team look at that position. But, CD, why don't we lead with the Cajuns and their game against Mississippi State? We have learned this week that it's going to be Tommy Stevens, the starter for the Cowbell crew. And according to what we heard earlier, looks like Keaton Thompson, guy that I've been talking about all offseason long, might be entering the transfer portal. I'll get your reaction to the collective QB news from Mississippi State and what, if anything, that this means for the defense. UL, Ron Roberts going to New Orleans.
I think this means that the Cajuns defense is going to have a little bit more fun with this kind of set up now. Instead of it being a guy like Keaton Thompson, we've seen what happens when Louisiana guys play for Mississippi State. Dak Prescott definitely is obviously the one I'm referring to there. But we're seeing it's a big surprise there, seeing obviously Mississippi State going with a different quarterback. But I have to say, I have all the eye emojis right now looking towards what's going on with Keaton Thompson. Because the fact that you mentioned him possibly going to the transfer portal, this is something I think none of us saw coming after spring practice wrapped up for Mississippi State.
So let me break it down for you numerically. 672 yards, 10 touchdowns, all that. Those are rushing stats for Keaton Thompson as a primary backup for Nick Fitzgerald these last two seasons. Now, I know that he started while Nick Fitzgerald was, I believe, suspended at the beginning of last season. So, again, as a backup, the guy rushed for 10 touchdowns in two seasons. But here's why I don't think a whole lot's going to change as far as what you expect if you're Ron Roberts in the defense from their offense. Tommy Stevens is the number 8 rushing quarterback of all time at Penn State, and the guy barely was even there, right, in Happy Valley, playing for the Nittany Lions. So it's still going to be a quarterback that has rushing capability. As for LSU, I feel like it's been a fairly quiet week on the home front this time of year. Look, that's not a good thing. That's a great thing. And it used to be that you had to worry about people getting a little rambunctious, maybe even going out to the bars, the nightclubs this time of year. But the bigger issue this time of year is always injuries. And, Clint, by and large, this has been a week where LSU has gotten healthier. The guys that were resting are being pushed toward the forefront, and just about everyone, with the possible exception, I think, of Chase and Hines, just about everyone expected to participate in tomorrow's third scrimmage at Tiger Stadium. So how long will they go? Couldn't tell you. But will they be able to go? It seems like the answer is yes. So LSU's starting to get a little healthier right before the season opener.
And that's absolutely huge, and you brought up a good point about the fact like we're not having to kind of worry about the police blotter as we had been maybe the last few seasons under Les Miles. We're seeing that become less of a thing, which maybe shows a shift in the culture over at LSU. I like what we've seen, a culture shift with UL, with Billy Napier heading into his second season. But it's great to see everybody start to come back. Again, a lot of those injuries likely were precautionary things where you kept them out. That way, when the live bullets are flying and ready to go, you are going to wind up having these guys 100%, and you don't have to worry nearly as much about long-term injuries that happen during the season because these guys will have rested up before the season gets started.
Clint, I am nothing, as you know, if not a master of geography and geographical terrain. Might even say topography, right? We just started on the west. Here in Lafayette, we moved east to Baton Rouge and LSU. Let's keep it moving that direction on I-10. If you could stand the traffic, and we'll take you to New Orleans and talk a little bit about the Saints. They've got a game coming up this weekend, third preseason game against the New York Jets. Those Jets have been banged up and injured on their side. As for the Saints, yes, they've had some normal contributors. They've had some new faces that have been out for a little bit of a duration now. Alex Anzalone, Craig Robertson at linebacker. The guy Marcus Sherrills that came over from the Vikings, expected to be the kick and punt returner. They've been dinged up a little, but we're finally going to get to see Drew Brees, the starters, at least for a series over in the Meadowlands. So there's an opportunity to see what the Saints look like, an opportunity for them to establish some rhythm. Other than that, kind of status quo, I think, airline drive in Metairie.
Exactly, and that's a great thing. And once again, just to kind of hear about that, because we're not having to worry about, oh, hey, like, so-and-so, a big-name player, is injured. He's going to be out for an extended period of time in the regular season. These guys are staying healthy. Maybe another reason why they've stayed in New Orleans and Metairie and never moved back to the Greenbrier. Thank goodness that never happened again. But you got to think about it. Definitely absolutely huge to get those guys out there tomorrow against the New York Jets. Probably, like you said, one series, I feel like at the most, these guys are going to wind up playing. If things don't go well in that first drive, I think you wind up sending them out there maybe one more series, and then you go on from there.
Leave it to the famous Clint D to throw some post shade over at the folks in couch burning country.
It's too easy,
in West
Ben.
Virginia. Yeah. What are you, Frank now? I guess it is a little easy with the laugh there. I've got eardrums. All right, here's the deal. We got to take our final break before another extended segment, and we're going to talk baseball. Some big news on the diamond as well this week. Ryan Pressly destined for arthroscopic knee surgery, and so the eighth inning man for A.J. Hinch and the Astros on the shelf for 4 to 6 weeks. Ouch. Carlos Correa to the IL. Ouch. Aledimus Diaz, same thing. So suddenly they're dealing with a bit of a MASH unit again. But I think they'll be okay. Tonight they've got Zach Greinke on the bump. That's one heck of a start. And to get you primed and even more ready for baseball on Acadiana Sports Station, we got to bring back one of my favorite interviews in a long, long time. Earlier this week, the Riot. Ryan Terrio joined us. Former national champ at LSU. Two-time World Series champ from a couple of NL squads. He was dynamite. A look around Major League Baseball, talking Alex Bregman, rule changes. I mean, everything that you could imagine. So stick and stay. There's more of that on the way. We're hanging out at Ruffino's on the River where it's August. That means lobster month. 3 for $30 lobster options here. You don't want to miss it, and you don't want to miss us. We're coming right back on 103.7 The Game.
You're listening to Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love. Missed an interview?
No!
Acadiana Sports Station has got you covered.
Explain how.
Just head over to 1037thegame.com and check out the on-demand section.
Woohoo!
Now back to Ben Love and Bumper to Bumper Sports on 1037 The Game.
Right back out to Ruffino's on the River, continuing to celebrate life. Yeah, it's B2BS doing Bumper to Bumper Sports things on 1037 The Game. Ben Love here. And for the next 20 minutes or so, joined by the famous Clint D. All right, here's the drill. When we have a great interview, we like to double dip. We want to make sure that our listening audience has a chance to catch the best of Acadiana Sports Station. Not a doubt in my mind, as we're angling downhill now toward Astros Angels 7:10 first pitch, 6:35 Astro launch from Minute Maid Park. No question that an interview earlier this week with Ryan Terrio, among the best we've ever had, especially when it comes to matters on the diamond. And so I want to bring that back to you. We went in on Alex Bregman, the best in the AL, the NL. He has a lot of expertise, obviously. A couple of World Series championships on the NL side. So we talked about some of his former clubs, former managers. But for my money, my favorite part, and hey, I'm the guy that got to ask the questions and planned them out, right? So it makes sense. Love talking about the evolution of the shift in baseball, as well as those quote-unquote juiced balls. I promise you, baseball fans are going to love this. Here's a Q&A replay with former LSU national champ and World Series champion twice over, Ryan Terrio.
Tell me this, as we leap right into the Astros, we carry Houston Astros baseball on our station, Ryan. What has been your biggest takeaway of the career that so far Alex Bregman has put on paper? Obviously impressive, but anything that maybe has surprised you?
Yeah, I mean, the power numbers definitely surprised me. You know, you look at what Alex did here at LSU, and homers weren't the one thing that would stand out. But, you know, it's just amazing to see, and I say it all the time with young hitters, power is truly the last thing to developing great hitters. And when I say great hitters, you know, generational type hitters, you know, Barry Bonds type guys. I mean, they were great hitters before they were great power hitters. And you're seeing that happen with Alex. I want to say he's at 30, maybe 31 right now, whatever it is. You know, could realistically get to 40. And if you had told me that he was a 40 home run guy when he was at LSU, man, I'd have called you a liar all day. So that definitely shocked me.
I will stay in the American League, then get to some of the groups that you played for. The Yankees this year, just the way that their team is built, does it remind you of some of the groups that you played against, or are they doing this in a different way?
Man, the Yankees have definitely made some great offseason moves, I think. You didn't see – it's different, right? You don't see them, other than Stanton, going to get the Bryce Harpers or the Mike Trouts of the world, or the Madison Bumgarners, you know, guys that have been rumored and free agents recently. You know, they've built this thing with Torres and you know, and so you know, other than Stanton, really, man, and a couple others sprinkled in there, it's a little bit different as far as that goes. But man, the play on the field's similar. It's the same dominant approach to the game. I'll tell you, the stadium's a tough one to play at. That city's a challenge for opposing teams to go into and play at. So they've got all that worked in their favor and in the history. I mean, you put on those pinstripes, you know, you're just expected to win. It's like when you put on a, you know, Patriots uniform, you're expected to win football games. So that's what you're seeing in New York.
Talking Major League Baseball with Ryan Terrio on 103.7 The Game. All right, handicap the top of the NL Central for me right now. The Cards a half game ahead of the Cubs. You know, yeah, both of those franchises well. How do you see it?
Man, I feel like the Cubbies are probably going to pull it out. I'd love to see St. Louis get back on top just because that city loves its baseball. And you know, it's a couple friends of mine, you know, on that team that I still talk to quite a bit. But Chicago's just got so much firepower, man. I mean, offensively, top to bottom, this is a team that can hurt you at any moment, no matter who's at bat. Look, don't sleep on Milwaukee either. I mean, this is a good division. This is a good division that really you'll see at the end of the season. You know, September is always a fun month for everybody. You're seeing these playoff races, but Milwaukee's one too, man. That could sneak in there and make some noise.
We'll stay in the National League, and we'll get to your San Francisco Giants. I'll get your reaction on the swan song season right now for Bruce Bochy.
Yeah, man, look, I don't know if I've said it on this show, but I go on in San Francisco quite a bit. You know, Boch and I have a really good relationship, Brandon Crawford, you know, and then Bohm and all the guys. So you're pulling so hard for him. You want him to go out on top. Such a roller coaster early on, you know, it's, are we going to blow this thing up and start over? Hats off to the front office for giving him a shot to make a run at it. You know, leading out of the All-Star break, it wasn't the start that they had hoped for, you know, and so then the questions arise again, man, we should have traded Baum, maybe should have moved Buster or Brandon Crawford, but, you know, you just hope that, you hope that it can be a fun, you know, last 40 days of a guy's managerial career, a Hall of Fame manager. And I was very fortunate to play for Boch and get to know him personally, play against him for a long time as well. And he's truly one of the good guys and does it for the right reasons. His players love him. But more importantly, when he walks in a room, like everybody listens and turns around, you know, he kind of commands that respect. And so, man, I'm always pulling for Boch and I really enjoyed my time in San Fran.
A few league-wide questions for you as we come down the stretch with Ryan Terrio, former LSU baseball player on 103.7 The Game. We carry Astros baseball. I mentioned that. And so I can't help but notice when Justin Verlander, just about any opportunity he gets, is knocking the juice baseballs. Is that something that pitchers are always going to do, man? Or where does that come from?
No, I mean, something's definitely going on. You know, it's not just the balls, though. But the balls are different, and I can tell you that with certainty. The balls are different. The specs on the balls are a little bit different. The bats have gotten better, you know, from a production standpoint. You know, but I'll tell you the issue, and more than the baseballs, pitchers don't pitch anymore. You know, they and it starts at the youth level, high school, and then in college. You see it in college all the time, man. If you don't throw 95, you're not getting recruited to a high end school. All guys are worried about is lighting the gun up. And I can remember, you know, vividly facing guys in minor leagues that were touching triple digits that never sniffed the major leagues because they couldn't locate or they just got hit. You know, nowadays, if you throw 100, you're in the big leagues immediately. I'm not saying it's easier to hit today than it was, you know, 15 years ago, but you don't have to game plan. You don't have to worry about a sinker. You don't have to worry about a cutter other than a couple guys. The hard slider is not as prevalent. I can remember sitting in hitters meetings going, you know, okay, pitcher Greg Maddux, for instance, okay, he might cut a fastball, he might throw a sinker, he could throw a splitty, maybe a changeup. Overhand curveball is good and his slider is good. So now if I'm a hitter, I have to prepare for every one of those pitches. In 2019, man, it's like two or three pitches tops that the hitters have to prepare for. So, of course, they can take more chances. And, of course, strikeouts are going to go up. And, of course, homers are going to go up because it's more of an aggressive approach to hitting because the hitters don't have to prepare for it. You know, it's fastball, good fastball at 98 and a breaking ball. Well, if I guess right, that ball is going to go a long way.
Love the perspective. So, Ryan, you mentioned the bats. Would I be exaggerating it to say that Marucci has changed the game with the influx of Marucci bats in the league?
Yeah, I mean, look, and they do such a good job. Like, they're balanced well. The technology has gotten better in the production of these bats. Yeah, Kurt and the guys, absolutely. I mean, they're the biggest in professional baseball. You know, they service their guys great, and you're just seeing them better. You know, used to be, and I'm saying it again, I'm not the, like, back in my day guy, trust me. But used to be you'd get a dozen bats, and maybe three of them you could use in the game just because they didn't feel right or one was a little bit too heavy or whatever. Like, now every bat you get's perfect. And so, yeah, man, I think technology's made that side of the game better as well.
Yeah, your day wasn't that long ago. I'll get you out of here with this one, though, Ryan. I wanted to ask you about this, too. How much do you remember there being the shift when you were playing, and then your thoughts on the evolution of that since?
Yeah, I mean, I played for Tony La Russa, you know, in St. Louis, and he kind of started it, but he was definitely at the front end of that, you know, and the shift would be on guys that we thought were trying to get the head out and yank the baseball and hit the ball over the fence. You know, now I think because everybody's trying to do that, you're seeing more shifts, but also, the pitchers are pitching into the shift, right? So I don't see it being too long until, hitters kind of get smart, you know, and the stolen base is a little bit more prevalent, you know, and double plays happen where you never see them anymore, you know, because the shift is on. But, you know, history repeats itself, man. Nolan Ryan threw 100 and something miles an hour. So did Bob Gibson, you know, and then you see guys, Tom Glavins of the world come in and Greg Maddux, I mentioned earlier, but dudes that could actually pitch, and then it cycles through again and guys are throwing super hard and the shift and all that. I truly believe that everything will cycle back around, you know, and the shift won't happen quite as much because hitters are just going to get better. Because all it's going to take is one guy or two guys that can handle the bat, and they're going to hit 400 because they'll hit through the shift or they'll manipulate the barrel a little bit and be able to push the ball to a certain side of the field. It's not super difficult to do. Good Lord, if Tony Gwynn was playing today, he'd hit 450.
I know it's football season, but I got to tell you, this has been a lot of fun. Great talking some shop with you. Ryan, thanks for stopping by today.
Hey, no problem, man. Appreciate you having me.
Just tremendous. Again, we had that originally on a Tuesday for our Friday crowd. Thought you might like that. And Astros baseball, since he talked about Alex Bregman, coming up on the other side of our World's Shortest Segment audition. We're getting oh so close to the AL West showdown between the Angels at the Astros. Zach Greinke on the mound. I'll give you more details on the other side of this break. But a tip of the cap to everybody who's joined us so far. Pretty darn big show for a Friday at a Ruffino's on the River. Of course, David Murray, jeanspage.com. Some breaking news today on Mississippi State. News yesterday about a new quarterback for the Bulldogs, and David discussed them both. Also, our pleasure to sit down with Cody Warsham. Used to be with Tiger Egg Magazine, now digital media reporter for LSU Sports. A little LSU football, a little LSU basketball. Lot of great sports talk. And of course, to end hour number two, David Hellman, all in on them Cowboys and everything that surrounds Zeke, Dak, and Jerry's crew at Jerry World. We'll be right back in. Time to put a bow on the show and then send you to the Juice Box in Houston. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, and we'll be right back in one final time on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game and 103.7TheGame.com.